Okay. Again, if you were not here, these folks are Raul and Jane Villalba, and they arrived yesterday, are staying at the Collins home. Thank you, folks, for coming up a little closer. That's nice. Raul and Jane are office manager and bookkeeper for the Gospel Mission of South America, doing a lot of things with the headquarters and helping the missionaries. And they've been a great blessing to me as I've been down there providing hospitality for the board members when they come for their meetings, and missionaries and candidates and candidate school and all the stuff that just needs to happen when you're doing work like that. So this is a very valuable ministry for the whole mission family. And they'll show you a little bit about the mission and themselves and on these just about 10 minutes here. And then we'll come back. I'm going to go upstairs with them just for a moment, and we'll come back and Naomi will share some special music. And then we'll let you share a little bit from the Word. Our brother is a native Spanish speaker and is working on his English, has done for a number of years, and is getting better and better. But you can appreciate, I hope, going to another country and trying to use the language well. Try just to imagine that, and not to give up or to be embarrassed when you say, you know, chicken instead of kitchen and all that sort of thing, you know, and just keep on going. And that's what our brother's doing. And so they'll let you know about that. And I'm sure if we have some time at the end, we can do some questions and answers like we did this morning. Very interesting testimony that they have. And we're glad in the Lord that you're here with us tonight. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it. And sister. Okay, you'll explain a little bit about the slides. Great.
All right.
I just wanted to explain a little bit about the slide presentation. Our mission works in South America and Chile, Argentina, and Uruguay. That's the southern cone. Those are the only three countries we work in. And the slide presentation is just a bunch of ministry pictures of our churches, our camps, and the works in Argentina, Chile, and Uruguay. And we put some in of the Tim Gosen family, and I believe your church supports them. So they're, you'll see them and a few of their church people and their ministry there. And then we have a few slides of Mr. George Black, our oldest missionary, who is 101, who passed away a few days ago. And so I couldn't take him out of the presentation. And he was buried in Chile. A wonderful testimony of ministry. And what else was I going to explain on that? No, I forgot. But I want to explain to you that because the slides about him say our oldest missionary, but he did pass away a few days ago. So this has music. It has no other explanations on it. We're not talking.
I want to introduce her. She's my wife.
Oh.
Okay. Really, before we do the presentation, we show the presentation, I want to share with you my testimony. So it's nice to see you, to know every people here from Fellowship Bible Church, you know. So we know that you, brethren, pray for us, and we appreciate that. And we are very thankful for this invitation to be here in this conference, and we appreciate so much your support to us, and thank you very much for that. So I use this help. I write everything because English is not my language, you know that, so you can see that. So something wrong here. Oh, my glasses. I need my glasses. Okay. So my name is Raul Villalba. Raul Villalba. Some of the brethren try to pronounce my last name, you see, Villalba. But really, that double L in Spanish, we pronounce Ja. So my last name is more easy. You try to pronounce Villalba. Raul Villalba. So my wife, Jane. So I was born in Paraguay. Sometimes when somebody asks me about where are you from, I ask very fast, I'm from Argentina, but I'm a liar. I'm not from Argentina. I grew up in Argentina when my parents When I was 5 years old, my parents moved to Argentina, so I grew up in Argentina, I studied in Argentina, I met the Lord in Argentina when I was 18 years old. So, but I never went back to Paraguay. I'm Paraguayan, but I don't know my own country. So, I don't know Paraguay. I received Jesus in September of 1978, and when I was working in a company, it's a leather company, I was working in that company, one of my co-workers, she talked with me about her Savior. So that was interesting for me, but I didn't understand well, because the first thing that I think that she was interested in me, but she wasn't. So that was interesting too. She was a smart believer. She introduced me to another brother from another church when that church had a nice young youth group. And that was very nice for me, and I met my wife there too. She was working as a single missionary in Argentina in that church. So, trying to learn to play piano, so I met my wife. So I didn't learn to play piano, but I got a wife. Oh, that is funny. Well, when I started hearing about the gospel, so my co-worker, she talked with me and shared with me about verses like John 3:16 or John 5:13 or John 4:6. And that was easy for me. I thought that I was ready to receive Jesus as my Savior. But when I started attended that church, so and I hear many messages of the gospel, so I start hear something different. I start hearing about sin, and I start hearing verses like Romans 3:23 or Romans 5:8. So that verses for me was hard to hear, because I thought that verses it wasn't for me, so I start thinking that I was in the wrong place. I am a good boy, so that is not for me. But I continue to attend the church, so I understood a little more about sin. So until I recognized before God that I was a sinner. One time in the morning service, a pastor who had a ministry, jail ministry, he brought with him ex-convict, and he shared with us his testimony, and he shared with us before he received Jesus as his Savior, when he was in the jail, and after he received Jesus as his Savior. That time that was in the Herodos and in Priscilla Church. That was 30 years ago. In that morning, when I went home, so I understood that I was a sinner. That there was these verses was for me too. When I start reading these verses, like John 3:16, and God is talking I will use it in Spanish, but said, "For God so loved the world, and I was in that world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever all believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So, I know that I was in this world, so then God loved me. But when I hear Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Or Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." So that verse was talking about me too. So I was there. So, in that morning, I went to my house and I asked God the first thing, so I recognized that I was a sinner, so I asked God to forgive my all my sins. And I invited Jesus Christ to be in my heart. Some years later, so I met my wife. We married in 1983. God has given to us three wonderful children. Two of those are married, and we are happy with, because as a parent, we always are worried for our children. When the children are little children, we have a little worry, preoccupation, right? So when the children are bigger, so we have a bigger preoccupation for them too. So they were my daughter and Marcos, my son. They married with brother and sister. They are brother and sister, so we had a double wedding in our church the same day in the same church. There are a brother and sister. That is interesting, right? So we are happy for that. Our other son, Jonathan, he's studying baptism. He's a Christian too. And we are happy. We still pray for him because he is single. He is happy when he knows some girl has some interest in him. But I told him, you have to be serious. So we are happy with our three children. Let me tell you something about how we came to the state. When I met my wife and we married in Argentina, we live in Argentina after we married around 22 years. And I was working in a leather company. I was involved in the ministry. After we married and she resigned at the mission, we work in our local church. She's doing the same thing that she was doing as a missionary, and I was working in the local church too. And I was working in a leather company. I had a good job, but one day, a long time ago, a Christian, they corrected me, because what you say, always you had a good job, or God always give you a good job. So really, I wanted to say that. So I feel that I know that God provides for us through our job. But I never expressed, I never tell that. So that is now I told, always God give us a good job, God provide for a good job. The situation in Argentina so was bad, and we considered before God to come to the state. But really, I wanted to come to the state and work in my the same profession. You know, say I am a leather technician. So I was talking with another company here in Michigan. The name is Eagle Ottawa, and everything was going very well. But September 11 happened. So after September 11, they answered me, forget it, we can take it. But we saw that God continued to open the door for us. So we prayed for that, and we saw that God answered our prayer, and He opened the door for us. So in that time, I didn't understand what was the God will for us, until one of the missionaries is a field director in Argentina, Tom Gibbons. He talked with us and he asked, hey guys, if you want to go to the state, do you like to be involved in the mission again? Because we are in the same mission that my wife was working when she was a single missionary. So I started to understand what was the God will for us, why He was a open door for us to come to the state. And now we came to the state 8 years ago, and so my wife, she started working as full-time as bookkeeper, and I was working as voluntary. I got some secular job, so After 5 years, our general director, Terry Thompson, he asked, hey guys, what do you do? You apply for short fame. Short fame is just two years. You are almost 5 years as a short fame. So I start considering before God to be involved as full-time missionary. But in 5 years, I had a nice job, a secular job. So I think that I thought that I was a little fear, miedo, a fear. Fearful to quit from my job and live by faith. I think that was my great problem, you know. So after that, let me share with you one of the verses that God showed me to be involved in the ministry. The first thing that I thought that the big problem that I have, really I have, is the English, the language. So God showed me through Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 and 12. But God showed me these verses for almost 3 years in three different messages in the other 5 years. And so when Terry asked us, and I remember that verse, and this is say, Exodus chapter 10, 4 and 10 and 12 say, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, for since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who makes the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Wow. Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. In another verse was in Isaiah 41, 9 and 10. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and say unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Wow. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Brethren, believe me, after these verses, I wasn't sure that God called me to be involved in the ministry. I was positive that God called us to this. So I told my wife, no more excuse. So I know that my English is so-so, but God will help me. I know that we don't have maybe $500 a week, but God, he will provide for us. So that was interesting. So we took the decision to be involved in the mission. The reason that we are here, not just to share with you our needs. We want to share what God is doing in us and through us. That is my testimony. So now we want to show you our presentation. After that, I will try to share with my poor English something from the Bible. Okay.
describing.
Yeah.
Teach me to babble. You
Me again. I won't forget my glasses this time. That is, I'm 49 now. So, what is the word used for respeto? Respect. I'm sorry. I have my helper here. I had a great respect for the pulpit. You know, not everybody is able to be here. And I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I won't preach tonight, so I will share some point that is interesting for a Christian life. I want to share with you and with me, because this is for me too, about disciplines in the Christian life. So I brought this pamphlet and I will leave with you. It says 10 of our disciplines, 10 disciplines of a godly man. Disciplines. Okay. And that will help you to understand me better when I finish, right? So, if we open our Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, chapter 4, 7 and 8, and say, but refuse profane and all wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promises of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Christian, we will never get anywhere in life without discipline, and doubly so in a spiritual matter. None of us is inherently righteous. So Paul's instruction regarding spiritual discipline in 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 take on personal urgency. Train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, and godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promises for the present life and also for the life to come. I have in this pamphlet 10 points about discipline. The first at this point is purity. Discipline of purity. Sensuality is the biggest obstacle to godliness among Christian men. The fall of King David should not only instruct us, but scare the sensuality right out of us. Fill yourself with God's word. Try to memorize some verses. And I want to read two verses in the Bible that talk about this. The first one is in Thessalonians 4, 3 and 8. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentile was not God. That no man be beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all, such as we also have forewarned you and testify. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5, 3-7, but fornication and all uncleanness are covetousness. Let it not be once named among you as become saints, neither filthiness, for nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not covenant, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because although of this thing cometh the wrath of God upon the children and of disobedience. In verse 7 it says, be not ye therefore partaker with them. So the good exercise to try to put in practice in our life about discipline, about purity, is the advice to try to memorize this kind of verses. Another verse that you have exercise, you can read. God will talk with you through His Word. So when you feel that God talk with you, try to remember that for different cases, you know. That pamphlet is special for men. And when we are talking about purity, we have a lot of men, a lot of Christian, a lot of brother that have a problem. We have no, anybody is free to make this kind of mistake, you know. So it's talking about the man, but the woman is not free of this too, you know. And this pamphlet is talking about men, but the man, the woman are here too. So that is what I try to say, you know. Yeah. So a pure mind is impossible if you mindlessly watch TV and movies or receive a pornographic website. Discipline a relationship. To be all God wants you to be, put some holy sweet into your relationship. If you are married, you need to live out Ephesians 5:21-31. I try to read this verse. It's very, very important. It's 5:21-31. Maybe Pastor Matt, you can help me to read these verses.
Sure.
Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Right. So husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And we can find too in Ephesians that about the father, say, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So that is a guide for to have discipline of relationship. The next point is discipline of mind. The potential processing the mind of Christ show up in 1 Corinthians 2:16. We can find in some churches that the Christian who do not think Christianly, leaving our mind and discipline, you know, discipline. And the Apostle Paul understood this well. Whether it's true, whether it's honorable, whether it's just, whether it's pure, whether it's lovely, whether it's commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about this. That is in Philippians 4:8. Each ingredient is a matter of personal choice. The fourth point is the discipline of devotion. And that is that I wanted to be clear about that, because every morning we don't forget to eat our breakfast. We don't forget to eat every day lunch or supper. We don't forget to do the thing that we wanted to do. And that is the thing. Sometimes, including me, sometimes I'm busy in another thing, and maybe I forgot to do my devotional time. I forgot to read the Bible. And he's talking about that in here. And reading God's word is essential, but meditation, internalize the word and respond this. I desire to do your will, O my God. Psalm 40, verse 8. Beyond the instruction, like Ephesians 6:18-20, there are two great reasons to pray. The more we expose our lives to the white hot sun of Christ's righteous life, the more his image will be born into our character. And the second reason is that prayer bends our will to God's will. The fifth point is discipline of integrity. When I was reading this, I compare integrity with purity. To be integrity, you have to be pure, you know. So we can hardly overstate the importance of integrity to a generation of believers so much like the world in ethical conduct, but integrity, benefits, character, a clear conscience, deep intimacy with God, argue its importance. In Ephesians 4:15, we must let God word draw our lives, lines of conduct. Our speech and action must be intentionally free, true. In Proverbs 12:22, I like to read these verses too. Pastor, you can help me. We can go more fast. We can do that in team.
Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight."
Yeah, you will find more verses in this pamphlet. But when we go to the next point is discipline of tongue. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless, according to James 1:26. The next point is discipline of work. We meet God, the Creator, as a worker in Genesis 1:1 and 2:2. Since God created man in His own image, 1:27, the way we work with will reveal how much we allow the image of God to develop in us. The eighth point is discipline perseverance. And perseverance, we need to read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 3. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 3.
Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance or perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls.
We're here in Hebrews 12:1-3 present a picture of perseverance in four commands. The first one is the best, lay aside every way and sin which clings so closely. The first part, of the verse 1. And the second part is run with endurance and race that is set before us. Each of us can finish our race. The third point is focus, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And there never was a millisecond that he did not trust the Father. And the last point is consider. Our life is to be spent considering how Jesus lived. The ninth point is discipline of church. I learned that you don't need to go to church to be saved. You can know Jesus everywhere. You can know Jesus here in the United States, and a lot of new believers receive Jesus in South America, in Europe, in Africa, you know. But if you don't go to the church, you will have a very poor relationship. You won't grow in the God world. So we need to have the discipline to come to attend the church. If the church have meeting in the morning service, Sunday school, evening service, Wednesday, and another activity, and another ministry, you have to be a part of this church because you are a member of the church. We are the church, right? So it's so sad, brethren, it's so sad when you see in the morning service your church that your churches are full and the evening service just a few brethren. It's sad to see in Wednesday's service, Bible study, prayer meeting, just a few brethren. I want to encourage you to attend, to have that discipline to attend regularly the church. Because it's when we will hear God's word, it's when we learn God's word. So that is very, very important. And the last point that I have here is discipline of giving. How can we escape the power of materialism? By giving from a heart overflowing with God's grace, the believers in Macedonia who gave themselves first to the Lord, according to 2 Corinthians 8:5. This is where grace giving must begin. Giving disarms the power of money. True giving should be regular. It should also be spontaneous and responsive to needs. And to finish, I want to read two verses. One is in 2 Corinthians 9:7, when said God loved a cheerful giver. Can you read that, Pastor?
Yes, 2 Corinthians 9:7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Yeah. And what about Acts 20:35? I have an experience with these verses. Sometimes ago when we start in our ministry and we start raising support, one of our missionaries, appointees, they call us and they are doing deputation too. And they call us, can you do a transfer regularly for months for $35 for your medical, for your health insurance? And I told Terry, I'm sorry, I can't receive that. He's doing deputation like me. So I can't receive his money. Man, I can't forget Terry that day. And he told me, Raul, you can stop the privilege that he had to give. You have to learn to give and receive. And if we read here in Acts 20:35, do you have that?
Yep. It says, I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
That is the word that I want to remark in this case. Again, I'm not a preacher, but I wanted to share with you this point with my poor English. Thank you again for inviting us, and this was for us a privilege to be here and meet the son of the. I know that this church had more people, but I know that too is hard to come in the weekly day. No, we understand that, but I want to tell you that we love you. Thank you for praying for us and for support us, and now we know you a little more, so we will pray for you too. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
You have those in the back?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, how was that? Outstanding, huh? Yeah. You got those 10 disciplines down? If not, why, you get the cheat sheet at the back there when he leaves it. What a blessing that was to hear from our brother. See this report and everything. Thank you very much for coming. I only wish you could stay a couple more weeks, but they will be going off tomorrow morning to visit some a former member of their church in Florida, and then up to relatives in St. John's and also in Grand Rapids, and then coming back on Monday, and I will take them to the airport on Monday to fly out. They are very busy people, like we all are, and have to get back to their work. They can probably feel it piling up there on the desk in the office while we speak. But they're blessed to participate in that work, and we to participate with them as well. Let's close with a word of prayer and look to the Lord in this way. Father, thank you for our brother just now extending himself to share with us in English these disciplines of godliness, and how he has told us about purity and integrity and giving and attendance in the local church and devotional time and reading the scriptures and all of these others that he's mentioned as well. Lord, I pray that you will help these to be developed in us further. And we pray, Lord, for our brother and sister, Vialba. Lord, will you take them and use them? Will you continue to mold them into the image of Christ? I pray especially for their financial support, that our God, you will give them to 40% and 50 and 60 and 70 and 80 and 90 and 100% of their support, so that they may be able to come out from under the support as much of the mission as they are, and all of that money may go back to the field. Lord, this is what their desire is, I know, and we for them as well, that as much as possible will be going out to the field, but yet still we recognize that without these folks staying by the stuff and keeping track of everything and doing the taxes and doing the reporting and all that, that the missionaries would be greatly distracted from their work. And this is a valuable, valuable service for them to be able to work unfettered, except those distractions and difficulties which will inevitably attend to them on the field. Thank you for these folks to do that work, and thank you for allowing us to participate and fellowship with them in the gospel. We thank you now for tonight and pray for their safety as they travel. May they have a good night's rest, and as well as all of us here today. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.